All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Today's daf is Lamed Dalet 34. We are picking up three lines down from the top on Lamed Dalet Aleph Va'akati. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Said and Sima Haken in the zuchus that all of Klal Yisrael should encounter success and hatzlacha in all of their endeavors. Shkoyach, thank you for the sponsorship. Beautiful, beautiful message. All right, we'll say, so let's begin. Va'akati. So remember, again, we left off yesterday with a riveting drasha from Reish Lakish that Reish Lakish said, b'chol kodesh lo siga. So remember, again, the pasuk says, literally, you shall not touch kodesh. And if you do, v'nichrasa, there's kari. So remember, again, Reish Lakish said, it can't be that b'chol kodesh lo siga means, as is stated, that you can't touch kodesh, because you wouldn't get kares ultimately for going in and touching kodesh. Rather, Reish Lakish understands that this pasuk is actually an ashara lo ochal for one who goes ahead and consumes kodesh items in a state of tumah. So the Gemara says, really, vakati mi bayle. But the truth is, we actually need this pasuk to teach us something else, which is as follows. Sorry, vakati mi bayle, letame sha'achal basar kodesh lefnei zrika. We'll say we need this pasuk to teach us a different halacha, which is, what happens if someone who is tamei goes ahead and eats sacrificial meat before zrika, before the blood is sprinkled? The itmar, because we learned, tamei sha'achal basar kodesh lefnei zrika, if you have a tamei who went ahead and ate sacrificial meat before zrika. So we'll say, remember again, we've already established a number of different times that halacha lemaisa, zrika is the determinant for the effectiveness of a particular karban. Once zrika is done, the karban is good. So the havami that the Gemara is working with over here is that maybe you're only chayiv if you go ahead and consume sacrificial meat in a state of tumah after zrika, when the karban effectively is an effective karban. But if you ate it before zrika, maybe you wouldn't be chayiv. So the Gemara says over here this follows. If a person eats sacrificial meat in a state of tumah, the person is in a state of tumah, and he eats the sacrificial meat before zrika, Reish Lakish amar loke, Reish Lakish says you get malchus, Rabbi Yochanan amar ein loke. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't get malchus. Reish Lakish amar loke. Reish Lakish says you get malchus. Where does he learn that from? Because the pasuk says b'chol kodesh lo siga, the pasuk tells you that you can't go ahead and touch kodesh. Now remember again, Reish Lakish understands that b'chol kodesh lo siga is actually not a reference to touching kodesh. Rather, what is it a reference to? It's a reference to consuming kodesh. Reish Lakish amar loke b'chol kodesh lo siga lo shna lifnei zrika b'lo shna la'achar zrika. Ultimately, again, it makes no difference if a person is doing this, if a person is consuming it before zrika, or if a person is consuming it after zrika. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, ino loke, ultimately you don't get malchus. Why not? Kidetani bardolo, as bardolo taught, asya tum aso, ultimately, again, we make it gzer shava of tum aso, also like we saw on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, v'chikasev ahu, and I will say, when is that gzer shava referring to? La'achar zrika, ultimately, again, it's referring to only consumption of sacrificial meat after zrika. Im kain lemakra bakodesh. Ultimately, again, if that's the case, then why doesn't the pasuk just say bakodesh? My bichol kodesh. Why does it have to say bichol kodesh? Shmami natarti. Ultimately, again, the teaching about say both of these halachas, namely what? That basar kodesh, that if a person goes ahead and consumes sacrificial meat in a state of tumah, whether it is before zrika or after zrika, that a person will be chayiv. So, mostly, just you should know, bottom line, actually, the way that the Rambam paskins is like Rabbi Yochanan, not like Reish Lakish, and that indeed if a person went ahead and ate sacrificial meat, the person was tamei and ate sacrificial meat before zrika, so they're in violation but not karis. Karis is only a din of a karban that is consumed after zrika. Shabbosai makes sense. What's the logic of that? So the prohibition of eating sacrificial, let's say it differently. The punishment of karis is when you eat a karban in a state of tumah. The offering is really only considered to be a karban when after zrika, right? Well, so we know this. Well, haraya, if something happens to the karban and zrika can't get done, so ultimately the karban is not effective. So you see from here, as we said before, we've seen this a number of times, zrika is the determinant. Therefore, again, the Rambam says that one is only chayiv karis for eating a carbon in a state of tumah once the offering, so to speak, has the status of a carbon. When does it have the status of a carbon? Only after zrika. So Gufa, the Gemara examines this a bit more. Tamei shachal basar kol b'shifnei zrika. If a tamei goes ahead and eats sacrificial meat before zrika, so Reish Lakish amar loka. So Reish Lakish says you get malchus. Rabbi Yochanan amar ein loka. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't get malchus. Amar Abaye says, Machlokes bitumas haguf. So we'll see now we're going to further analyze this. So Abaye says, this Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, as to whether or not you get Malkus, for if you are Tamei for consumption of a carbon prior to Zrika, he's talking in which case, where the individual is Tamei. Aval bitumas basa. But say, let's say again, it's not a function of the tumas aguf, but it's a tumas basa. Let's say again, the sacrifice, the offering, the carbon itself becomes tamei. Divrei hakol loka. In that case, everyone agrees that you get malchus, even if you're consuming the meat prior to zriga. Why? Do amar kra, because the pasuk says v'habasar. Now, this is actually quite interesting. The pasuk says v'habasar. That is in v'habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel be'ish yisrei v'habasar tar v'yochal basar v'habasar l'rabos itzim ulevona delav b'nei achilaninu. But so that comes to include v'habasar comes to include that what? That even if you eat some of the wood or you eat some of the levona that you are going to be chayav. So remember, the levona is the frankincense, right, which is a spice that is brought together with the lechem upon him. So if you go ahead and you eat that, or with other karbanos as well, the lab ben achilaninu va'afilu hachi rabin hukra. So we'll say, here's what's interesting: that halacha lemaisa, from we learn out from the extra, the unnecessarily long form of v'habasar, to teach you that even if I eat etzim and levona, I will be chayiv ultimately again for that consumption. For that consumption. So we'll say, if I'm going to be chayiv for that consumption, then what? Then I certainly will be chayiv if I eat sacrificial meat, which has become tamei. Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's actually right across. The rabbos etzim ulevona, letumas atzmon. The rabbos say, ultimately, again, that for etzim and levona, if they themselves become tamei, and I consume it, I will be chayiv. I will be chayiv. Dechibas hakodesh machshartam, l'shavinu uchla. Well, see, this is actually a very beautiful phrase. Chibas HaKodesh literally means the love of Kodesh, which means, really what it means is, the fact that they are Kodesh makes them more sensitive to the halachos of Tumah. Therefore, again, if they become Tameh, they are treated like a food item. And even though, again, these are not food items, nevertheless, halacha lemaisa, if you eat them, you will be chayiv. Based on that, the Gemara Rashi says, Ubasar lifnei zrika, lo gara minayu. So again, if I'm going to be chayiv for eating levona or for eating wood, which has become ritually impure, then what? I'm certainly going to be chayiv for eating sacrificial meat before zrika. So that's the Gemara Zarshing over here. That halacha lemaisa, again, the machlokas of Yochanan and Reish Lakish the machlokas of Yochanan and Reish Lakish is only in a case of where the person is tamei. The person is tamei and he eats meat before zrika. Reish Lakish says you get malchus. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't get malchus. But if it's not a function of the person, but it's a function instead of what? Instead of the meat is a function instead. The meat is becoming tamei. Then even if you consumed that meat before zrika, everyone will agree that you are chayiv for that consumption. Why? Because meat before zrika is no worse than what? No worse than etzim and levona. No worse than wood and levona, which are even non-food items. Yet, if I consume them, I will be chayiv. So certainly meat before zrika, I'll be chayiv as well. V'Rava Amar Rava says, no. Machlokes betumas aguf. Rava says, no. In fact, the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is dafka in a case where what? Dafka in a case where the person is tamei and not the meat. Aval betumas basar, when it comes to Tumas Basar, divrei hakol eino loka. So we'll say, Rava agrees, remember again, that the fundamental machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is in fact in a case where the individual is tamei. But what does he disagree with? He says in the case of Tumas Basar, Everyone will agree that you do not get malchus. Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish will both agree that in the case of Tumas Basar, where the meat itself is ritually impure, there is no malchus for that consumption. My time, what's the reason? Kevan delo karinam ba v'tumaso alav v'nichrasa. See, Rabbi says, since I can't apply to that to this individual with tumaso alav v'nichrasa, see, Rabbi says, in a case where the meat is tame, you can't apply the pasuk of v'tumaso alav. V'tumaso alav by definition means what? Who's tame? Who's tame? The individual. So because I can't apply v'tumaso alav v'nichrasa lo karinam bay v'habaser asher yiga b'chol tame lo ye'achel. I also can't apply to it a situation ultimately again of habasar shayiga b'chol tame lo yachel. In other words, we'll say that the pasuk of habasar shayiga b'chol tame lo yachel is a function of v'tumaso alav. V'tumaso alav means the person is tame and not the meat. It's only when the person is tame that's the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. But if the meat is tame, everyone will agree that if you eat it before Zvika, after Zvika, I should say before Zvika, that you will not be a chayiv. V'ha'amar mar, v'ha'basa l'rabos itzimu levona. But once again, you just said before that from the phrase v'ha'basar, that comes to include even if what? Even if you eat itzimu levona. I will say, now this is a very compelling argument. If I'm going to be chayiv for consuming itzim and levona, non-food items, then what? Then it should go without saying that I'm going to be chayiv for consuming sacrificial meat that is tameh. Or as I will say, sacrificial meat that's tameh, even before zrika, is still a food item. If I'm already chayiv for non-food items, then certainly I should be chayiv for all food items. Hacham asking on what's the case here? Shekitshu b'kli, did not, shekitshu b'kli. We'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is where the etzim and the vona were consecrated in a kli sharis. Now watch this. Dinasa kemisha karvel kol matirav. Because we'll say, in this case, it's as if all of the things that are matirit have been done. I will say, we've seen this phrase of matirav. We'll say, matirav means karbonos have a number of different things that quote-unquote permit it. Or really, I should say, that make it a bona fide karbon. So for example, in a regular karbon, you have shchita, kabbalah, holocha, zrika. So we'll say, interestingly, the Gemara says as follows. That what's the case where you will be chayiv for consumption of eitzim and lavona, even though they are non-food items? That's a case where they were actively consecrated in a kli sharis. Because if they were actively consecrated in a kli sharis, that's the equivalent to a karban where all of its permitting steps have been done. So the Gemara says, disnan, Gemara is going to explain this, disnan, kosh yishlo matirin, we'll say any offering, or any, we'll call it any offering, any karban that has matirin. Look at Rashi, it's right across in Rashi. Bless you. Kosh yishlo matirin, hamatirin oso ba'achila. Any sacrificial item, I will say, which has a series of steps necessary to permit it for consumption, chayovin alav mishum tumah, mishekarvu matirin, v'she'im lo matirin shekidish b'kli. So let's listen to this. Any karban that has a number of permitting steps, once those permitting steps have been done, then what? Then what? Then ultimately, again, one would be chayiv for tuma vis-a-vis that item. So the Gemara says, so we shekarvu matirav, kol she'im lo matirin, but ultimately, again, I will say, any sacrificial, or I should say, any consecrated item, which does not have a series of permitting steps, mishekidesh b'kli, once it has been sanctified, ultimately, again, in a kli, one would be chayiv for consuming it in a state of tumah. So we'll say, so to bring this all together, what does this mean? So when it comes to karbanos, all of this begins to make sense now. Now we understand the position of Reish Lakish, ultimately, again, who says, that, I'm sorry, let me see, take a step back. So what the Gemara is suggesting is as follows. Even if you hold, that ultimately, if one is going to be chayiv for consumption of eitzim and levona, based on the pasuk of v'habasar, so the Gemara wanted to suggest that at the end of the day, I don't understand. If you're going to be chayiv for eitzim and levona, then you should be chayiv for any type of consumption of sacrificial meat that's tameh, whether you're tameh, whether the meat's tameh. How could it be that we're now saying that if the meat is tameh, one wouldn't be chayiv for that, or one wouldn't be chayiv for chorz rika? So we'll say, to which the Gemara says, the comparison is not necessarily the same. when it comes to non-food items, once they are consecrated in a kli sharis, that is as if all of the permitting steps have been done. Therefore, if you take Eitzim and Lavona, and you go ahead and what? You go ahead and you consecrate it in a kli rabbo site, then that is considered to be a fully bona fide consecrated item, which means that if you were to now eat it, you would be in a state of tumah, or the item becomes tameh, you now become tameh for that. And that is different than a case ultimately of basar, because in a case of basar, there are multiple other matirim, there are multiple other permitting steps that need to be done in order for the carbon to be a bona fide carbon. But I will say, bottom line, for our purposes, the way we paskin is that halot, we paskin ultimately again, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, but we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan in the case of Tumas Haguf. So again, Rabbi Yochanan's case is one of a person who is eating Basar Tameh before Zrika. So in the case of a person who is eating Basar Tameh before Zrika, so remember again, we accept Rabbi Yochanan's premise with Rava's qualification of the machlokes betumas haguf avabatumas basar divrei kol eino lokeh. So we'll say, so therefore the halacha is as follows. If a person who is Tameh consumes sacrificial meat prior to Zrika, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that's what? There is no malchus. There is no malchus. So this is a case where the person is Tameh, ultimately, again, consuming it before Zrika, you don't get malchus. Now again, to be clear, it's still us, sir, but you don't get malchus. You don't get malchus. So that's taking Rabbi Yochanan with Rava's qualification of machlokes betumas haguf, ava betumas basar divrei akol imalok. Even Rabbi Yochanan would agree, you don't get malchus for tumas haguf prior to Zrika. Fine. Itmar was another interesting case. Hama'ala ivari behemot me'al gabi mezirach. Was actually a very interesting case. What happens if a person goes ahead and offers up limbs of a non-kosher animal on the mizbeach? So I literally bring up limbs, ivarim of a non-kosher animal on the mizbeach. So what's the halacha? Reish Lakish amar lo, okay? So Reish Lakish says, you go, right now Rashi interesting says, behemot me'al susim ugimalim. Now we'll discuss why Rashi has to say this. Right? This is the reason why is Rashi saying this? As opposed to, let's say, a kosher animal that was improperly slaughtered. So let's say, this is mamish, I'm bringing up limbs of a non-kosher animal on the Mizbeach. So what's the halacha? Reish Lakish amar lo, Reish Lakish says you get malchus. Rabbi Yochanan amar lo, ain't lo. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't get malchus. Reish Lakish amar lo, Reish Lakish says you get malchus. Why? Tahorah in Tamei lo. Because ultimately, again, the Torah says that I have to bring a behemoth Tahorah. Right? Min ha-bakar min ha-tzon takrivu. The pasuk explicitly says that my carbon could only come from kosher animals. So therefore, again, because I brought a non-kosher animal, therefore what? I get malchus. So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish, let me rest the phrase. Loka Tahorah in Tamei lo. Pasuk says you have to bring a behemoth Tahorah, not a behemoth Tamei'ah. V'lav haba mechlal asei lokin alav. We'll say, so this, interestingly enough, we'll say, as we're going to see in just a moment, the pasuk that we're going to focus on is when the Torah says, min ha-bakra min ha-tzon takriva es karbanchem. You have to bring your carbon from the bakar and tzon. So that is an asay. But so, from this asay, I could infer a lav. What's the lav I could infer? You can't bring a non-kosher animal. Reish Lakish is of the opinion that you can get malchus for the violation of a lav that is inferred from an asay. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, in lokin alav. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you don't get malchus for it. Why? Because lav habam mechlal asay in lokin alav. So we'll say, interestingly enough, obviously everyone's agreeing that you're not allowed to bring a non-kosher animal as a karban. The shaila is, if you ended up actually putting the limbs on the mizbech, do you get malchus or not? So this is a technical machlokes. Reish Lakish says, yes, because you can get malchus for a lav habam mechlal asay. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, because you don't get malchus for a lav habam mechlal asay. Most Rabbi Yirmiya, so Rabbi Yirmiya is the kasha. O sato chelu. So we'll say the pasuk says, "Koma freses parsa v'shosa shesa prasos malas gira babehima." O sato chelu. Well, so this is the pasuk by kashrus, Parsha Shmini, right? That teaches me the laws of kosher animals. So any animals that have split hooves, choose its cud. So we'll say, watch this. So the Gemara says, "V'lo behema tmeya." So I learn out from there that I have to eat this type of animal and not a behema tmeya. This is a lav habam michlal asay. Now, both say now, again, remember, what do I see from here? This is a prohibition that is ultimately gleaned from a positive commandment, and ultimately, again, we treat it as an assay. To which the Gemara says, Amrli Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Yirmi about Tachlifa Asabra Lacha Be'evri Behema Tameah Duchuli Amalo Pligi. Supposed to say, so here's how I'll explain it to you. If we're talking about a case, ultimately again, where a person is bringing up the limbs of a Behema Tameah, everyone agrees. Or say, look at Rashi, Duchuli Amalo Pligi Da'asehu Di'ika Vesulo. But say, if we're talking about bringing up the limbs of a non-kosher animal, everyone is going to agree that you won't be chayiv for that. Why? Because if I offer up the limbs of a non-kosher animal on the Mizbeach, I am in violation of an asay. And everyone will agree that I don't get malchus for the violation of an asay. So keep ligi, where does the argument come up? Bechaya. This is actually quite interesting. The machlokes really comes up in a case of a chaya. We'll say, what is a chaya? A chaya is a non-domesticated animal. So the simplest example of a chaya is a deer. Right? Deer, because we'll say, think about it, people don't usually raise deer, right? Deer are a non-domesticated animal. Rashi says, Kili pligi bechaya, v'lo le'inyan malkis, ela la'asei. Ve'emar nami, so we'll say, watch this. So let's explain this. V'haki itmar. So we'll say, this is what we mean to say. Rav Yochanan Amar, over ba'asei, v'esh lakish Amar, ino over bevelo klum. We'll say, let's say so again, everyone agrees that if I go ahead and I offer up the limbs of a non-kosher animal on the Mizbeach, that I'm in violation of an asay, right? And we'll see, by the way, we're going to dash in the Pasuk. The Pasuk is, so I'm in violation of an asay. And there's no malchus for an asay. Where's the machlokes case? If I offer up a chaya, a non-domesticated animal. Watch this. So the Gemara says, because Reish Lakish says, Reb Yochanan says, over ba'asei, I am in violation of an asei. Reish Lakish says, eino over bevelo klum. I'm not in violation of anything. Let's explain this. Reb Yochanan omra over ba'asei. Reb Yochanan says, I'm in violation of a positive commandment. Over ba'asei, behema in chayalo, because again, remember the pasuk says you have to bring a behema, and we infer from that what? Behema yes, chaya no. So I'm in violation of an asay. Reish Lakish amar eino over bivaloklum. Reish Lakish says no, you're not in violation of anything. Why? Hahula mitzvah. This is actually quite interesting. Reish Lakish says that when the Torah says that you should bring your carbon from a behema, we'll say hahula mitzvah. The mitzvah means what? L'chatchila. L'chatchila you should bring from a behema, but if you brought from a chaya, then what's the halacha? Certainly good enough. Look at Rashi. Ha'ula mitzvah. Behema mitzvah lahakriv. Bechaya rishus. We'll say it is a mitzvah to ultimately bring from the behema. And the chaya is a rishus. Umiyu temeya. Vadai lo. Dechsev mashki yisra min amosra li yisra beparakam. Sorry, fine. So now Rashi is pointing out over here. So the machlokes is only by chaya. So Rashi says, excuse me. So Reish Lakish says you're not in violation of anything. Why? The pasuk says min abehema. That's just the chatchila. But b'diavet you can absolutely bring a chaya. Mosiv Rava raised the kasha. Ilu ne'mar karban Hashem behema. So I'll say, if it would have just said, Karban Hashem behema, that you have to bring a behema as a karban Hashem. Hayisi omer chaya bichla behema. I would have thought to both say that behema is just a generic term for animal, and behema ultimately means what? Behema and chaya. Kin shenemar zosa behema asher tochlu shor sek savim v'seizim ayal utzvi. So I'll say the same way that when the Torah seeks out the animals that you're permitted to eat, I understand that what? That behema is just, it's an example. But behema means everything, including chaya. But yet, what does the pasuk say about karbanos? Tamud lomar, bakar vitzon. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. So we'll say, when it comes to the following, the pasuk says, mina behema, the pasuk on one hand says, you could bring a behema as a karban, and then it says, mina bakar umina tzon takrivas karbanchem. So we'll say, here's the shaila. If the Torah is already telling me behema, then what? Why the need to say bakar and son? Why do you have to say that at all? So the Gemara says, Tamla bakar otson. So the Gemara says, bakar otson amarati lecha v'lo chaya. Ultimately, again, I will say, see, behema, I could see as a general term for all kosher animals, including what? Behema and chaya. Once the Torah goes out of its way to say behema and then bakar and son, Torah is coming to teach me what? It's dafka bakar and son and not a chaya. Yachol lo yavi. So I might have thought then what it means is lechatchila you shouldn't bring bakar and son him heavy kasher. But if you brought it, it's kasher. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Halam azeh dome. We'll say the Gemara gives an interesting mashal. The Talmud shamar lo rabo. We'll say this can be compared to the following mashal. A Rebbe tells his Talmud, havei lichitim. Tell me, do me a favor and bring me some wheat. Vehevi lo chitim usorim. And the student goes and it brings back wheat and barley. Okay, that's fine. Why? Shinu kamavri al dvarav ela mosif al dvarav a kasher. So I'll say ultimately again, in that case, the Talmud is just adding on to what the Rebbe said. The Rebbe said, bring me some wheat. And the Talmud said, fine, I'll bring you some wheat and I'll bring you some barley. That's fine. V'kasher, Talmud lomar, bakar utzon. Bakar v'tzon amarti l'cha v'lo chayas. So also listen to this. Say if the Torah would have just said behema, I would have said, what does behema mean? Ideally, you should bring behema, but if you brought chaya, then what? Then what? It's fine. Just like the Rebbe tells the Talmud. Talmud, bring me some wheat. And the Talmud brings wheat and barley. Fine, he added on to the Rebbe's words. He didn't change it. However, so the Gemara says, however, now the Pasuk says, Bakar utzon l'marti l'cha v'lo chaya. L'mazid, I was about to say, here's the problem. After the Torah says, behemah goes out of its way to say, bakar utzon. So we'll say, what could this could be compared to? Ha'l'mazid adome, l'tamid shomer l'rabo, al tovi li elachitin. We'll say, this can be compared to a Rebbe who says to his Talmud, Talmud, do me a favor, do not bring me anything other than wheat. All I want you to bring me is wheat. Vehevi lo chitin usorin. And what happens? What happens? The student brings him chitin and sorin. So we'll say in that case, she'eno kimosif al dvarav, ele kimma'avir al dvarav. So we'll say in that case, ultimately again, so the Talmud is not adding on to the Rebbe's words. What is the Talmud doing? He's actively departing from the Rebbe's words. Upasol. And therefore, again, what the student is doing is negating the rule. So we'll say, here the mashal and the nimshal. The idea is as follows. Had the Torah just said behema, I would have said, what does behema mean? Behema is like the case of bring me wheat. So wheat, okay, fine, you want to bring me barley, also it's fine. So behema means the chatchila behema, but if you bring chaya, it's okay. But then the Torah says behema, and then it says bakar and son. The repetition of bakar and son tells me that what? It's dafka, only bakar and son that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants as a carbon and not anything else. And if I end up bringing something else, then what? Then ultimately, again, that is possible. To which the Gemara says, Tiyufta Reish Lakish Tiyufta. Indeed, this is a refutation of Reish Lakish's position. Indeed, it is a refutation. Good. We'll say, let's go back there. The Kulon Shekiblu. So let's remember again, going back to the Mishnah for just a moment. So the Mishnah said as follows: V'kulim shekiblu es adam chutz lizmano v'chutz limkomo im yesh tam anefesh yachzer akashiv ikam. So also remember again, this was the case ultimately again of where you had a pasul, someone who was pasul du kabbalah. So the Mishnah said, if the person who was pasul, right, if there's still dam hanefesh, there's still lifeblood, so what should happen? A Kohen kosher should go ahead and go get more blood and redo the avodah. We do the avodah. So says the Gemara. By me, Reish Lakish, me Rabbi Yochanan. So by me, Reish Lakish, me Rabbi Yochanan. Pasul ma'ash yasu shirayim. So also, here's what's interesting. See, what Reish Lakish is not taking a step back, and Reish Lakish will say the concept of shirayim means after the avodah is done, any leftover blood ultimately, again, is no longer fit for sacrificial use and is pretty much, we'll see, poured down the drain. We'll discuss which drain is used in just a moment. So Reish Lakish is asking the Kasha, if somebody who is pasul does the avoda, does that render the rest of the blood shirayim and therefore make it ineffective for any additional use? I will say, now essentially what Reish Lakish is asking is on our Mishnah, right? Let's say I have this case where a person who is pasul does Kabbalah. The person who is pasul does Kabbalah, and so we'll say, so now what happens? I want to send the coin, a kosher coin, back. Let's say there's still dam and nefesh. Do another Kabbalah, redo the avodah. Reish Lakish is asking, essentially, does that work or not? So Amar Lei, so the Gemara says, Ein osin shirayim, elo chutz lizmano v'chutz limkomo, hoil umaratza lepigulo. So we'll say, to which he answered, look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says over here, Ein lecha zrika psula she'oses hashar shirayim elo zrika b'machsheves chutz lizmano v'chutz limkomo. So we'll see, he answered ultimately again, the only thing that could go ahead and create shirayim, Avosai, is if a person doing the avoda has in mind for chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo, because ultimately, again, that enters into the situation of pigul. Rav Zavid Masni Hachi. Rav Zavid asked the following kasha. Hachi by Minei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. He understood the question to be as follows. Kos pasul mahu shiya'asa shirayim. But I'll say, what happens ultimately again if the person has the cup of blood and then he did something that passels it? What's the example of that? Kos Pasal Rashi says, Kigon Shiyatza Mao Shiyase Ladam Shebet Savar Shirayin Im Zarku Kohen Kasha Lazeh. Listen to this. Let's say the kohen received the blood in a kos, and then he walks out of the Beis HaMikdash, and now he walks back in. So we're saying, what happens now? So obviously that blood can't be used, but can he get more dam hanefesh from the animal and use that ultimately again for a karbon? Or do we say no? Once blood has been received and taken out, the rest of the blood in the animal is like shirayim and possible for use. Amrle. Psul gufei. I'm sorry. Maushi asa shirayim. Amar lehe. Pas psul gufei. So the Gemara says, or I should say, psul gufei maisiyolach. So we'll listen to this. Look at Rashi. Psul gufei maisiyolach. Adam pasul shazarak maisiyolach. So we'll see. He answers him with a question. What about if a person who's pasul himself does the avoda? I pasul mashvi shirayim. So if a person who's pasul, Abosai, if a person who's pasul makes the rest of the blood in the animal shirayim, then, so say if a person who's pasul is doing the avodah, makes the rest of the blood shirayim, then kos pasul nami mashi shirayim. Then I both say the blood in the cup, which is taken outside, also makes the rest shirayim. E psul, or e pasul, or mashvi shirayim, but if a person who's pasul does not go ahead and make the rest of the blood shirayim, then kos pasul nami lo mashvi shirayim. So we'll see, he essentially answered him is, whatever the status of the psul who does the avoda is, whether he makes the rest of it shirayim, that will determine these other cases of shirayim as well. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti Masni Hachi. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti, he understood the question as follows. Bo'amine Abayi Mirava. Kos mahu sheyases chavero dichui o shirayim. We'll say, this is another interesting case. Kos. We'll say, let's say what happens over here. Let's say in this case, Rashi, if you look at Rashi, Rashi's right across. Pups kos maushi yases chaveru dichoy shirayim kigon chatos shekibel dama b'shnei kosos. We'll say, for example, again, let's say a person is mekabel the dama v'chatos in two cups. V'nasan kol maknosav me'echad mehen v'chaveru shirayim uv'nishbach liyisod dichsev kol adam yishu. So we'll say, watch this. I received the blood of the chatos in two cups. One cup of blood I used for the blood applications. The shayla now is what? What happens with the second cup? Is that called shirayim? Or is that called dichoy? Or is that called set aside for non-use? Now what's the nafkamina? Look at the next Rashi. O dichoy hu. Dichia biyadayim shlo nitan mimeno akronos. V'yishpach la'amasha ba'azara hamotziya damim l'nacho kidron. We'll say this is actually quite fascinating. There are two different drains in the Beis HaMikdash. There was one drain by the base of the Mizbeach, and there was another drain in the courtyard. Any leftover sacrificial blood, right, that was part of an avoda but wasn't needed for the avoda, went down the drain by the Mizbeach. Any other blood that simply was just not used, or not necessary for any kind of avoda, went down the drain, ultimately, again, in the courtyard. Here's the interesting shayla. I'm a kohen, and I'm a kabel the blood in two different cups. From one kos, I use the blood for blood applications. The other kos is unused. What's the shayla? Must say, fascinating. What's the shayla? Which drain does that second cup go down? Does it go down the drain by the base of the mizbeach, right? Because we call it part of the avoda, or, right, that's what we mean, shirayim, or does it go down the drain in the azara? Because essentially it was never used for anything. It was never really fit for use in any kind of significant way. So that's what it means. Mao shias as chaver of dichoy o shirayim. Amrlei, they said to him, plukta de Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, Rabbanan. So we'll say this was a machlok as well as Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan. We'll say, first of all, it's just an incredible musr. Incredible musr that in avodas Hashem, I will say, everything requires thought, including which drain you put the excess blood down. Right? Everything requires machshava. Everything has kavanas. Everything is scripted. So we'll say this is machlokes. This sanyo. Lemalu omer. As damo. So we'll listen to this. We have two different psukim. Alright? First the pasuk says, V'as damo yishpoch el yisod hamizbach ha'ola. First the pasuk says, you shall pour the blood el yisod mizbach. Right? By the yisod, by the base of the mizbeach. So lemalu omer. As damo yishpoch. Lemat later on it says, V'es kol dama yishpoch. But say later on it says, Ves kol dama yishboch al yisod ha-mizbeach. Suppose you hear the difference. One pasuk it says, es damo, it's blood. The other pasuk it says what? All of its blood. So what's the distinction? So Rabbi says, the Gemara says, so ves kol dama yishboch, minayim lechatos, shekibol dama ba'arba koso. So we'll say, watch this. So why is it in one pasuk it says it's blood, and one pasuk it says it's all its blood? And I was saying, what we know for sure is, what does this tell us? That there are cases where all of the blood is poured by the base of the Mizbeach, and there are cases where it's not. So what are the cases? Here we go. Minayim lechatos, shekibol dama ba'arba kosos. We'll say, I don't know about a case where I did Kabbalah for achatos in four different cups. V'nasan matana achas mizeh, u'matana achas mizeh, shekulon nishbachan liyisod. We'll say, so let's say the following case. I do Kabbalah in four cups. I bring those four cups of the chatos blood to the Mizbeach, and I do a blood application from each of those cups. So we'll say, how do I know? Now I have leftover blood. So what do I do with the leftover blood? So we'll say, how do I know that I go ahead and I pour all of that blood by the base of the Mizbeach? Talmud Lomar, Ves kol dama yishbach. Yoch. So we'll say, so therefore, again, we'll say, now what happened in that case? Remember, it's very important to follow this. What did I do in that case? What did I do in that case? I did a blood application from each cup. Therefore, again, the remnants of each cup are poured out by the Yisod of the Mizbeach. Yochol nasan arba matanos mikos echad. You kula nishbach on the Yisod. We'll say, same case. I was makabal the blood of the chatas in four cups. I bring four cups to the Mizbeach, but I only do a blood application from one of the cups. I might have thought that still I should pour out the remnant of all the other three cups by the Yisod of the Mizbeach as well. No, Talmud Lomar, ve'es damo. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, es damo yishbach, meaning, telling me what? That there are times when some of the blood is poured out by the Yisod, but not all of the blood. Ha-ketzad, hu nishbach li-yisod. This one is poured out, we'll say, in other words, the cup from which the blood for the application was taken, that's poured out by the base of the Mizbeach, vehein nishbachin la'amo. Let's say, but the other three cups are taken back out to the Azar, to the courtyard, and what? And ultimately, again, the blood is poured out into the drain in the courtyard. Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon says, no. Minayim lechatos, shekiblo dama ba'arba kosos, v'nasan dalal matonos mikos echad, shekulan nishbachan liyisod. Rav Shimon Elazar argues. He says, no. Even in the case of, we'll say, where I have four cups of chatas dam, blood chatas, right, blood, dam chatas. And what happens? I only do blood applications. I do the four blood applications from one cup, but yet I still pour out all four cups by the base of the Mizbeach. Talmud Lomar, ve'es kol dama yishbach. The pasuk says, you shall pour out all of the blood. So Rav Shimon Elazar understands that any blood brought in to the Mizbeach for the chatas application, even though, again, I have four cups, and the blood application is only done by one of the cups, nevertheless, halacha lemaisa, again, I'm still going to pour out all four cups by the yisod, because the pasuk says, kol dama yishbach, I v'haksiv ve'es demo yishbach. But one second, what does Rav Shimon Elazar do with the pasuk that says, ve'es demo yishbach? Amar Ravashi, hahu lemi'uti shirayim shebet savar behema. We'll say, ultimately, again, what does that come to exclude? That comes to exclude the leftover blood in the neck of the animal. In other words, we'll say that any leftover blood, after I get the dam hanefesh, so we'll say, let's say I fill up my four cups of chatas blood. And ultimately what? I go ahead and get my blood, my dam chatas, but there's still more dam nefesh coming out. So the pasuk teaches you that what Rabbi say, that blood doesn't go by the yisod of the mizbeach. Rather, what that blood is poured out ultimately again in the drain of the azara. So Rabbi say, fundamental machlokus in Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish the Rabban and Rabbi Shimon Elazar about what I do with multiple cups of dam chatos, where ultimately it's poured out. Reish Lakish essentially says, Rabbi say, that's what. If the cup of blood is not used for a blood application, then what I will say, it is poured out not by the yisod, but rather is poured out by the drain in the azara. Rav Shimon Elazar says, if the cups are brought into the mizbeach, they're all considered to be dam chatos, and therefore all poured out ultimately by the yisod of the mizbeach. The only case of blood that is poured out by the drain in the azara will be any additional blood that is left inside of the animal. But it appears ultimately again that we paskin like the Rabbanan in this case, ultimately, again, that if the blood in the cup is not used for a blood application, that it is poured out not by the yisod, but instead that it is poured out ultimately again by the drain in the azara. All right, let's go a little bit weiter. So the Gemara says, "Kibal akarsha v'nasal apasal." So I'll say, then remember again, the Gemara brings up, or the Mishnah brings up, a series of other cases, which is, let's say again, the kohen went ahead and did kabbalah, but then he handed it off to someone who's pasal. Or he went ahead, or he did Kabbalah in his right hand, then put it in his left hand. The Gemara goes through a series of different cases. So we'll say, and then what happens? Or he went ahead and he received it in a Kli Kodesh and then put it into a Kli Kol. He has to put it back in the Kodesh. We'll say, all of these cases, we're talking about what? I did it right, then I did something illegal. So what does the Mishnah tell me? Just remedy your illegality, right? Remedy that which you did wrong by correcting it. So you did Kabbalah, you gave it to apostle, get it back from the apostle. You received it in your right hand, put it in your left hand, put it back in your right hand. The blood spilled, scoop it back up. So says the Gemara, why didn't you all of these cases? In other words, what's the common denominator in all of these cases is that Lamaisa, even if you did something wrong along the way, as long as you could remedy it, you're good. So the Gemara says, why didn't you all the cases? I'll tell you why. Utzvicha, diashvin and apostle. If the Mishnah were to just tell me the case of a coin who gave over the blood to an apostle, Havamina my apostle Tame, Dechazi la'avodas, my apostle Tame. So I'll say, so ultimately, what's the apostle we're referring to in the Mishnah? Maybe that's someone who's Tame. So I'll say, someone who's Tame, Dechazi la'avodas, Sibor. Remember again, Tumahutra bet Sibor. Sarah thought that's why even if the coin goes ahead and gives it over to a Tame, ultimately, again, if he takes it back from the Tame, the avoda is still good. Aval small lo. But if the coin put it in his left hand, once he did it in his left hand Avosai is puzzle for Avoda, then we're done. V'yashmu'in on small, and therefore the Mishnah teaches me the case of small, that even if he put it in his left hand, you could remedy it by taking it back into the right hand. V'yashmu'in on small, and if it just taught me the case of the left hand, de'isle'ach sher b'yom kippurim, because Avosai, interestingly enough, part of the Avoda was done with the left hand on Yom Kippur, because remember again, when the coin is going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he has to carry both the shovel full of Kitoras, or the ladle of Kitoras, as well as the shovel full of coals, by definition, he had to use both hands. So since a left hand is kosher on Yom Kippur, if you put it in your left hand, so maybe that's why it's still kosher, avak kli chol. But if you ended up putting it in a non-consecrated kli, lo. Therefore, again, the Mishnah has to teach you the case of kli chol. V'yashu'in in kli chol, mishum nechazu likud shinhu. And if we were to just tell me the case of Kli Chol, whatever, because ultimately, again, they can be consecrated. Aval Hanach Imalo, but the other cases, maybe not. Therefore, Tzvichi. Therefore, I will say, ultimately, again, I need all of the cases. Each of them are unique in their own way. And therefore, again, I need the Mishnah teaching each of the cases. So the Gemara goes, Vaitu Velehevi Lehu Dichui. I don't understand, I will say, if let's say the coin gives the dam, let's say the coin does the Kabbalah, and then he hands off the blood to someone who is pasul. We'll say, why isn't that a situation of dichui? We'll say, dichui means, as a concept by karbanos, that what? Once something is done, that it sets aside the carbon for non-use, essentially the carbon is irredeemable. So why don't we say that once the coin hands over the dam to a pasul, that's it, we're done. Why do we say dichui? Does this reflect? Chanan HaMitzri. We'll say, this is Chanan the Mitzri. What does Chanan HaMitzri say? Omer afilu dam bekos mevi chaveru umezaviglo. Umezaviglo. So we'll say, ultimately, umezaviglo. Because we'll say, Chanan HaMitzri is the one who says, Bayom Kippur, we'll say, that's what? Very quickly, that if you have the seer la'azazel, two goats, we'll say, have to be drawn the same way, have to look the same way. What happens, we'll say, if we draw the lots, we shecht the seer laHashem. I have the blood in the utensil. Then what happens? The seer laAzazel drops dead or gets lost. Chanan HaMitzri Abosai says, not a problem. Just find another seer. Just find another seer and replace it. So Abosai, ultimately, again, so Abosai, this is dramatic because those who argue in Chanan HaMitzri say what? Say that halacha lemaisa, no. Once the seer laAzazel is lost, then what? Then ultimately, again, the blood in the utensil, ultimately, again, will be inusable. So we'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up, ultimately, again, with this discussion of dichui, and Yiratz Hashem tomorrow.